Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Ah. Plantain,
ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, your weekend review edition. This is your host, Dean, and as always, I am here with my fantastic co-host, the hardest working man in the podcasting business. It is Coach. How was your weekend, Coach?
I got some good fantasy points up front this week, actually. That's how my weekend went. All three of my strikers scored.
Yeah, that is a blessing, because I know the real life version is shit. I mean, we have to settle, as Arsenal fans, this weekend, we have to settle for fantasy points, because nothing we wanted to happen happened in England.
Bro. I'm just comforting myself, because
it was bad, man. Like, I'm just happy I have other things going on in my life at the moment that can distract me, because once that Liverpool thing happened with the Nunez goal, I was like, yeah, it's not going to happen for us this weekend. But that's okay. We just got to keep doing our job.
Watch it live. That's the thing. And my mates that did, I was just like, that's what you get for watching them. Like, that you guys got exactly what you deserved. I tuned in after I donated blood. Well, I didn't even tune in. I tuned into the group chat after I donated blood. So I was napping because I had nothing left, basically. I don't know if you guys know this, but if you are eligible to donate blood, please do it. It's good. It helps people more than you can know, ever imagine as well. Literally saves mothers, saves children from growing up with mothers and fathers and stuff. Please donate. But anyway, I woke up. I just saw the group chat, everyone going nuts. I'm like, bro, guys, like, what are you doing watching Liverpool matches? Just don't do it. They've literally lost two games in, like, for the entire season, and won the last game we lost before us was like literally what in September at Tottenham, but they shouldn't have lost. Do not watch Liverpool games, it's just not worth it, honestly, man.
Yeah, the juju is incredible, but we'll get into more details on that a little later in the show. You know, we always keep England for last because that's where we drop the most bars. But let us start in La Liga, my friend. Yeah. Valencia 2, Real Madrid 2, in the Racismo Derby. But the headline from this one was referee Jesus Gil Manzano. Early whistle, I guess. I don't, there's no rule that says that. Ain't no rule about it, but I think we can all agree, as people that have been watching football for a long time, playing the sport, watching the sport, that was fucked up what he did there, wasn't it, Coach?
Listen, man, you guys thought AFCON was done. AFCON is here. you guys thought we're finished. No, we're just getting started. No, I'm joking. Joke aside, yeah, look, that was some bullshit. And I really wish, I wouldn't have minded happening to Real Madrid against any other team, but not Valencia, man. Real Madrid should have walked away with the 3 points just for the morality of the shit, man. Like, Valencia definitely feel as if they've got one back over on them now. Even though you can imagine, like, that's how they feel. It's like, yeah, no, you guys are racist. So what are you doing?
It's crazy because Valencia is one of those like heritage teams that was really cool to us growing up.
And now having
this be their reputation is just kind of nasty to think about. Like,
I'll tell you what's even more shame, because Baraja is their manager, and Baraja is generally one of my favorite players growing up. So it's like, it's just even more souring, you know. It's like, fuck, it's generally fucker, man. It's like, it's not a, I enjoy doing this. It's like, no, you guys are making me hate you. and I don't want to.
Crazy. This is why I preferred Mendieta the whole time. Fuck Barajas. but onto the game itself. Vinicius got two goals, so he must feel like he got a little something back from them as well. Don Carlo said he didn't particularly play well, but he was decisive. Obviously, two goals is nothing to sniff at.
Yeah.
But especially the 2-0 lead that Valencia had in this game were through two fluky goals. That Carvajal error was the kind of thing I think a meaner coach would have subbed them off for that shit, man. Like that from a guy that experienced.
We're going to speak about a meaner coach doing something like that later on today, actually.
Before we forget, Mukhtar Diakabi, get well soon. I didn't actually see the moment in the game. I was lucky enough to not be looking at the screen when he got hurt, but apparently it was a really bad injury. I didn't see it. I'm too wimpy to watch injuries these days. So
here's the thing. He got injured, right? And you know, not to make light of it, because it's not. But Vinicius sent a very, very nice message to him on Twitter, but it wasn't in his Valencia kit. It was in his national team's kit.
And
I was like, man, the pettiness of it all is just
incredible. I love it. That's not even petty. That's just appropriate. Like, why the fuck would Vinicius ever wear a Valencia kit after what they've done to him at that stadium? Like, disgusting place. He got racially abused by a child this time.
Fuck, you know. There we go. I did it. It's
man. Hey, man, start them early. What can I say? In any event, this 2-2 draw continues to maintain the illusion that we have a title race in Spain. I think it's a wrap already, Coach. What do you think?
I mean, they're talking about, you know, you got Barca fans that are piping up yesterday talking about, oh, yeah, see you in El Clasico. And then we're going to get to the Barca game. But, yeah, they didn't capitalize on these drop points for Real Madrid. I'm just like, yeah.
Man, Barcelona,
but nothing's happened.
Barcelona fans have the self-awareness of a you know what, let's keep this clean. We're trying to get this shit out to many more people than listen to it currently, so I'm gonna chill with that. But Barcelona fans need more self-awareness, let's put it that way. The actual surprise title contenders Girona went away to Mallorca today and lost 1-0. They had their chances to get something out of this game, especially Savio, a guy that'll be at City next season. But I think Mallorca
nothing actually illegal about that, you know.
What's that?
Nothing illegal about that.
No, not at all. You know, it's just some regular, the 116th charge, if you will. But I would say Mallorca were good value for the win. Essentially, a central defender scored the goal, Copete. It's going to feel like Girona have run out of steam. Do you think they're going to fall back even further before the end of the season?
I mean, if I'm putting on my hater hat, I fucking hope so, because they're part of City football group. But generally, just for the vibes and just for something different, I really hope they actually finish second. It would be cool. It would be something that I personally have never seen. And you know, I think it'll be even cooler because I compare them to Real Sociedad from 20 plus years ago at this point. It's a similar story. The team that, you know, challenged Real Madrid, unlikely challengers, but they've got some really good players that, you know, have shown their worth this season, and they just come up short. But they get to play Champions League football next season as their reward. So, yeah.
Fair enough. Speaking of Real Sociedad, they went away to Sevilla and lost 3-2. What is going on with your boys, man? They allowed Sergio Ramos to do his whole big Sergio thing on them this weekend. It's like he got his powers back after he wore the armband at Bernabeu last weekend, because he was the main character in this game. He gave a penalty away, and he scored what was the decisive goal from a trademark header.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys should have done better, man.
So this is what he was brewing. He was brewing something nasty, but not for Real Madrid, unfortunately. This is what I feel like it was for, but my biggest takeaway from this game is El Nesri actually can finish with his feet, because that second goal, fuck me. I don't even know. What is that? Like, Aguero must have watched that and been like, that's my favorite scene.
I was watching that in shock because I didn't think he had it in him. Like, I know every striker can score goals. I mean, but his thing is heading the ball. Like, good Lord. What a finish. Yeah. He wanted to take the goalkeeper's head off.
It's good the goalkeeper saved it, because that would have been an attempted murder charge for sure.
Can Sociedad turn their season around, though?
Like, so what's going on? So here's the thing. Because yesterday's game was, I think, is actually a good example of where they're at. They have no problem scoring goals for the most part, I don't think. My issue, and I think my issue with them is that they're conceding too many that good chances. Not goals, just good chances. And obviously, they're going to lead to goals, but a lot of Sociedad's good work is done with the ball and just restricting how much time they're having to defend. And now it just seems they're defending a lot more. And I don't... They're a good side, but not good enough to essentially weather storms like that. They need to be the dominant team, because if not, results like this happen. So, yeah. I haven't cashed out on them yet, but I'll be honest, it's not looking good, man.
Yeah, it's not looking good. They remind me a bit of Arsenal last season, in that they were really good. They were really good for half of the season. Arsenal obviously had those injuries that cost them, but they just also kind of ran out of steam, and the pressure of steam gets them a little bit. And we're real social that it's like they got so excited about being up against PSG in the Champions League that they've just fallen apart since about a week before that, and they haven't been able to get their mojo back. It's crazy. 3-2 Sevilla in that one. Atletico Madrid hosted Real Betis and won 2-1. An early own goal from Ruiz Silva got them going, and a Morata rebound finish to close the first half, put them up 2-0. But William Carvalho, once linked to Arsenal for like 10 summers in a row, it felt like, scored a banger to have the deficit of Betis, but that's as close as a Betis got in this one. Atleti played well in this.
Yeah, I mean, Carvalho, that's his customary banger that he gets every so often.
Yeah, once every other season or so, it feels like, you
know. Yeah, for sure.
What other black person does he remind me of? But we'll get to that later, some other day.
He should have been an extra in Police Academy.
you think he looked like Hightower?
Basically, yeah, man. I'm not, like, really, like, seriously, with the mustache and shit, come on, man, like, yeah.
Hey, people, that is heritage. If you haven't watched the Police Academy movies, go do that. Like, turn off the pod, go do that, come back and finish up, okay? Don't do that. Don't do that. Come back to the pod. Stay with the pod. But Atleti 2, Real Betis 1. Atleti Club hosted Barcelona, and they and their delusional fans, that being Barcelona, had a chance to close the gap on Real Madrid, and they did not do so. As a matter of fact, the most notable thing about this relatively boring game was that they lost Frankie de Jong to an ankle issue and Pedri to yet another hamstring issue, which is a shame.
It looks bad as well, man. I don't want to talk about him, but, you know, when Fabrizio's reporting on this shit, you know it's something that's not just that, oh, yeah, he looked a bit of cramp. It actually looked pretty serious. But, yeah,
that's less from him. Well, we wish Pedri luck, because... honestly, he's slipping out of the bracket of my favorite player because he's just not playing lately. But, you know, when he first showed up and we started realizing what he was when he was playing with Messi a couple years ago, he was officially my favorite non-Arsenal player for a while there. But if you're not playing, like, it's a wrap. But I know he doesn't play for my love. I know that.
2021, that's what ruined him, because I think he played almost 70 games.
Yeah, they broke him.
Yeah,
they broke him. I just hope they don't do the same to Lamine Yamal. On to the standings, coach. Real Madrid in first with 66 points. Girona are second with 59. Barcelona are on 58. Atletico Madrid are 43 back on 55. Athletic Bilbao are on 50 points. And Real Betis close up the European places on 42 points. Sociedad are 2 points behind in seventh on 40 points. So there's still a chance, but they need to get it together soon, huh?
So you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah, I'm not cashing out, but like I said, it's not looking good. It would be great if we got Champions League again this season, but yeah, it's not looking good.
Champions League.
Just
get into Europe. Yeah, I think Champions League is beyond them at this point.
Yeah.
We move over to Italy and Serie A. We start in the Eternal City, where Lazio hosted Milan. And this one was settled in the 88th minute. A very, very late goal from Noah Okafor. But the big talking points in this game were the red cards to Luca Pellegrini, who pulled down Christian Pulisic because he wanted to... Do you understand what he was thinking in that moment, coach? Or was this guy just an idiot?
He really, really likes Captain America, bro. He just wanted his shirt.
It's not Halloween, bro.
I love Captain Steve Rogers as well, man. You know.
America's ass.
America's ass. But
Pellegrini, Pellegrini should just put the ball out, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, like, if you think you have a hurt teammate, and you want to get the referee's attention, just put it up. But I think he didn't want to give up possession at all. So he was trying to be sneaky with it. And I don't think Pulisic actually saw what was going on behind him. He was just trying to go score a goal because that's his fucking job, you know. So then Guendouzi, your boy, retaliated against Pulisic late in the game after the goal. I thought that was a little harsh, though, personally.
It was a little harsh, but you see, the thing is, you know, I think he skipped over his teammate, Marisic, getting a red as well. And I feel like Guendouzi is the kind of guy that, you know, he's easily influenced. He's like, oh, everyone's getting red cards. Let me join in. Yeah. That's what it was.
I don't know that he's easily influenced as much as he just has to back every beef he sees. If there's beef, he's back.
I definitely feel like he's definitely got that in him. And he just wanted to feel a monk. He just wanted to feel like, yeah, you know, I've done something today, you know. And, you know, this is essentially why he's at Lazio, because that's the mentality. You know, he hasn't matured at all. And I love him as a player, but the maturity is such a huge thing for him. Like, it's essentially how it's what he lives and dies by.
I just don't care about him, to be honest. Yeah. I always thought it was a little overrated. Then when he started causing trouble at Arsenal and people are like supporting him, but we've had this conversation before. Yeah. On we go. Monza 1, Roma 4. This new coach bounce from De Rossi, man. Like, how come every time Mourinho leaves a place, everything just starts working well again, huh?
Because he's a parasite, an overrated parasite that essentially poison and set football back 20 or 30 years with these stupid narratives and people just prioritizing the wrong shit. That's all it is.
Yeah, he is the clown prince of results-based analysis. That's what it is. I'm glad we're about to be done with him, but I can see a bunch of his acolytes coming up in the game, and I'm scared. I'm scared. They're all over the place. They're all over the place. Out of ball structure. Counterattacks. Anywho, Lorenzo Pellegrini. I don't know if you saw that goal, man, to open the scoring.
Yeah.
That twinkle toe was pretty. So
it was the finish because it looked like it trickled in, but it was so precise. Mm-hmm. You know, power's not everything. It was so precise, but I think, to be honest, the Dybala free kick, was it free kick? Yes. Yeah. The long range. Yeah. Listen, like, that boy is finding his feet again, and I'm so happy because players like him are a dying breed. And I know we speak about this quite regularly, but genuinely, there isn't many players like Dybala in football right now at all. He's that good in terms of his talent, and I'm just happy that he's you know, displaying it now. You know, he's not restricted by the clown prince of fuck, you know. So
fuckery and shithousery.
Yeah. Like,
oh man. Further goals from Lukaku and Paredes. That's 6 wins out of 7 for De Rossi so far as Roma coach. So good for them. Atalanta hosted Bologna, and everyone that listens to this pod on a regular basis knows why this is in the running order.
Yeah.
Because my boy Joshua, why did I name him Joshua? Anyway, my boy Xerxes scored this weekend from the penalty spot, something that a striker that's going to cost a lot more than him this summer could not do, but we'll get to that in a minute. Him and Lewis Ferguson got the goals in this one as they won away from home at Atalanta. That's a big win for Bologna in their Champions League.
For sure. Ferguson, again, my Scottish boy, doing the business. But yeah, man, I'm happy for Xerxes. You know what I mean? I think he's got all of the correct tools, but we're never ever going to say a striker shouldn't score a lot of goals. You should be scoring a lot of goals if you're a striker. I'm sorry. Top strikers, you should be scoring goals, man.
Listen, it's all put him in a different context and the goals will come. I'm telling you. Trust me on this, man. Trust me on this, okay? But we'll talk about this in a year from now. Don't worry about it. Ademola Lookman opened the scoring for Atalanta, and they had most of the ball in this game, but they conceded most of the shots, and that's an easy recipe to lose a game. 2-1 Bologna. Udinese hosted Salernitana. These are two teams we don't really cover on this pod that often unless they're playing one of the big teams, but Boulaye Dia, Senegalese player, he straight up refused to come onto the field when they tried to sub him on in this game.
Yeah.
He wanted to leave in January. They didn't let him leave, and he's like, fuck y'all.
Yeah,
I kind of rate it, coach.
Yeah, I mean, we need more of these stories in football, to be honest. Just shit that's left the field, that, you know, shit we haven't seen before. And shit to laugh at as well, because it's pretty damn hilarious when you think about it. It's like, between now and the end of the season, I would need to be a fly on the wall in their training sessions. I need to see what the fuck is happening there. Seriously. Nah,
they're about to have him training with the kids. I don't even know if Salernitana has a youth team and shit, but he about to be in the fucking hood, man. Like, because the coach basically said, I can't rely on him anymore, which is fair.
Yeah.
So they're probably just going to, like, push him out of the locker room and move on. But I do wish him luck with his career because he's a talented player, obviously.
Yeah.
Napoli hosted Juventus, and this was the one we were watching right before we started recording, coach. 2-1 Napoli, a game for the wingers, I thought. Guevara opened the scoring. And Chiesa with a precise bullet to equalize very late in the game. I don't think they deserve that equalizer, though.
I think I disagree, but go on.
You think so?
I think Juventus were secretly the better side this game.
Like, overall or just in the second half?
To be honest, no, not in the second half, actually. I think overall, I actually liked them a bit more than Napoli this game. Genuinely. Right. And it's
I just hate them. That's
no, this is the thing. This is the thing. It felt good seeing them get fucked like this, like it did. You know, they equalized. Do you know what I mean? They equalized, you know, they had the momentum and then they got fucked. It was like, yeah, this is perfect. Like,
well, they fucked themselves, technically. I mean, because nobody told Nunch. I mean, God bless a young black man making his way as a midfielder in Serie A, 18-year-old.
Yeah,
but I don't think this was his debut or anything, but he got subbed on.
And then stepped off.
On Osimhen, gave a penalty away and got subbed off, which I thought was harsh personally.
Yeah.
But I think it's Allegri. What can you expect? It's terrorist behavior, you know. So,
yeah, I mean, speaking of another young black dude, what's his name? Illing Jr. was at Chelsea in his youth years for a good 10 years, I want to say. But he's a gooner. And more specifically, he mentioned that he's a Highbury boy. So he knows the history. You know, you've got a lot of Emirates era fans these days, but he knows he's only a young boy, but he knows the history of the Arsenal. So unfortunately, you know, he plays for Juventus, but I was secretly rooting for him. I feel like he had a decent-ish game. Final product obviously is still below the standard, but I actually think he actually played reasonably well.
Fair enough. Osimhen ended up missing that penalty, but Raspadori put the rebound in. He didn't miss the penalty as much as Szczęsny saved it, another former Gooner. And Raspadori converted the rebound. And after that is when Allegri subbed off Nunch in pursuit of a late equalizer. And Rugani, just like last week, almost, but he blasted it over the bar. Like, that should have gone in, I thought. Like,
yeah. I'll tell you what the technique was, right? Basically, he swung at it rather than letting the ball hit his foot. Had he let the ball hit his foot, he keeps it low, he gets it on target for sure. But in those late situations, I probably swing at it myself, you know what I mean? But in those late situations, it can happen. So
it reminded me a lot of that. Remember the Ben White moment against Newcastle when he found himself on the edge of the box with all the freedom of the world? All he had to do was shoot, and he was like, I've never gotten this far before. Oh my God. And he, like, passed the ball to a marked player or some shit. That was what Rugani did there. Yeah. Inter haven't played this weekend because they play Genoa on Monday and they have a chance to go 15 clear at that point. I think we're getting to the point where these podcasts are going to be shorter because we don't have to cover Serie A that much anymore because this is about to be a wrap. 15 points and it's over. But let's do the standings before we get out of there. Inter first with 69 points. Hit me with that, coach. Thank you. Juventus with 57, 12 back. Milan with 56. Bologna in fourth with 51 points. Roma are right behind them in fifth on 47 points. Atalanta in sixth. Mm-hmm. All I really care about in Serie A at this point is Bologna making the Champions League. And
do Inter and Bologna still have to play again? Because they're the two form teams in Italy. So,
well, I do remember that Bologna beat Inter earlier this season, which was when I really started watching Xerxes. And I'm not looking forward to seeing him again if I'm Inter, because he played, that was maybe his best game of the season, I would say.
Mm.
I think he got assists for both of the goals and was just generally very Benzema-ish all game. It was fucking great. But we now leave for Germany and we start in Freiburg, where they hosted Bayern Munich in a barn burner, a typical Bundesliga transition barn burner basketball game that ended 2. Freiburg opened the scoring before Mathis Tell, who of the strikers of his generation, I think he very easily, and of his generation, I mean, like, guys
the
that
young,
are, like,
the young 20 kid.
And younger, I guess.
Yeah.
His ball striking is, every time I watch him play, that's the quality that stands out the most. Like, he just can create space to get his shot off so quickly. And when he does, It is full power, Charlie. Every time.
It's very, very much Anelka-ish. That's what it is. Mm. It's very much Anelka-ish. He's I think Bayern Munich are, because of the state they're in now, they're very, very lucky. Harry Kane in another, let's say, 2 years probably won't be the same force. And Tell is ready to stick, is there to, you know, to take over from him. But any smart club right now is looking at Bayern thinking, can we tempt you? Because Tell is him.
Would you take Tell at Arsenal as the nine?
To be honest, I would take him at Arsenal. Put it this way, if I had to redo our nine options, right, I'd have him as the understudy, basically. So obviously get rid of Eddie, put Gabby Jesus on the wing, and get, you know, Openda.
So it would have to be him plus one other.
Yeah, it would essentially be two and one other, basically.
Right, I no longer care about this conversation. Because I'm looking for the one candidate. I want to commit to a candidate. Yeah. That said, Musiala scored what looked like the winner in the 75th minute, but Lucas Höller equalized for Freiburg with 3 minutes left in the match.
A great finish as well, man.
What's that, coach? A
great finish as well, man.
Indeed it was. Indeed it was. But here's what I really want to talk about. Lothar Matthäus. He is obviously one of the legends of the game. Next to Beckenbauer, I would say the next best German player ever. Mm-hmm. But on TV over there, he has a reputation for being a bit of a dumbass. But here's what he said about Thomas Tuchel after this game. He said, he always attacks the team. He's always actually the one that doesn't make mistakes, and the players make mistakes. And as a player, you don't want to hear that. It's not about a player, but he generally attacks the team and expects more and so on. But maybe the players also expect a bit more from Tuchel. He makes himself unpopular with the team, and conversely, he doesn't get the trust as a coach that he would like to receive. If things don't go in the direction that Bayern won on Tuesday against Lazio, then Thomas Tuchel will not continue. I am absolutely certain of that. What do you make of that, coach?
That is the most scathing direct draw out I think I've heard this season. He's essentially telling him that, I dare you to lose on Tuesday. My nigga, I triple dare you to lose on Tuesday. And it's me and you. I want to see you.
I will see you outside Strassner, Straber, or whatever the fuck that place is called, and shove every wing back in Germany up your ass, Tommy. He's mad. He's so mad. He's ready.
That is so scathing, man. Fuck.
Man. On the move, Heidenheim hosted Frankfurt. And we include this because, did you see this, coach?
Unfortunately, I didn't.
Oh, man. Their goalkeeper, Kevin Müller, and captain. He got a back pass from his central defender. The ball is running. We've seen this happen a couple times before, but it's been a while because the fields these days are so smooth. Mm. Right as he's about to clear this ball, booted up 50 yards, hits a divot, goes over his foot into the net.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
They lose the game 2-1. That was the opening goal.
The way you described it, it reminds me of years back, a Birmingham City game. He's got the ball thrown back from his fullback. I forgot the name of the goalkeeper, and it's gone under his foot directly into the net, basically. I've forgotten the name of the goalkeeper, but it was definitely Birmingham City. I remember. Listeners, any one of you, send us a thingy. If one of you gets it correct, you're getting socks, free socks. But yeah, Birmingham City game in 2002-2003 season, if I remember correctly. Was it Birmingham City versus Aston Villa? Yes. I'll find the game anyway. But yeah.
Well, I just want to point out that you keep offering these people socks without asking me if my feet are warm. Like, be careful. Don't give away all the socks, I beg. Okay? Like, it's cold in where I am.
Your feet are fine, man. You make like stupendous amounts of money. It's fine. I promise that.
This is true. I am wealthy. home we go. Union Berlin hosted Dortmund. 2-0 to Dortmund. Pretty straightforward win for the yellow and black. Karim Adeyemi, probably the best goal of his career, I would say. Fucking banger. And a late dagger from on loan Chelsea player Ian Maatsen. I wonder if they could use him right now.
No, I hope not, because he's one of the young kids that I do really rate, and I hope that he actually leaves there.
Wolfsburg hosted Stuttgart, and it ended 3-2 to Stuttgart. Sehu Guirassy with another brace. Joshua Wagnerman scored the decisive goal in the 77th before Mecha scored a consolation for the host to make it 3-2. Yeah. But the real question, coach, is are we overlooking Stuttgart a bit? They're essentially, I believe, third in the table.
Yeah.
Only 4 points behind Bayern. I mean, yes, it's not winning the Bundesliga over Bayern, but this is a pretty interesting story. I mean, their coach, Sebastian Hoeneß, I believe, is Uli's son.
Yeah.
And has been lightly linked to Bayern. It's a little early for him, but I mean, they're having a great season, and it feels like we're not. I mean, we've been talking about them, but maybe we need to give them even more credit.
Well, I'm always going to be a fan of Stuttgart because they gave us Alexander Klebb. But Bayern are going to need to have, I suppose, they're already having a shit season. They're going to need to have a catastrophic season to finish below Stuttgart, I think. Let's be honest. I don't see it happening at all. Right.
That's fair. I suppose we can give them more credit if they do finish above Bayern, but they won't do that. So they're getting enough credit, I think.
Yeah, man. I think look, Stuttgart have been, if not for Leverkusen, they've been the story of the Bundesliga this season for sure for me. But there's more pressing matters at hand in this Bundesliga season, and I think we need to give it the respect it deserves. So you tell me what the Mainz result was this weekend, please.
It was a 1-1. I don't care. They're going down.
Yeah.
They are going down. And we will be there. We will be there when they go down. A couple more before we get out of Germany. Bochum hosted Leipzig and lost 4-1. They opened the scoring with a 7th-minute goal, but they just made Leipzig angry. Honestly, we're adding this goal, this game to the agenda because I had the luxury of getting to watch the Houston Dynamo play against New York Red Bull last night in Houston. And Forsberg, ex-Leipzig, a couple months ago, he was by far the best player on the field. And Houston also lost, which was unpleasant. That was bad for the vibes in the city last night, but that's okay. But yeah, 4 replied goals to win this one for Leipzig pretty easily. And they're looking good for Madrid in midweek, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They are, man. Just, you know, no free, don't concede any free kicks because clearly their goalkeeper can't save them. I'm interested to see that game because it's 1-0 and, you know, they've definitely got their shooting boots on for sure. Almost doing his thing. It just seems very finely poised. Real Madrid, you know, tough result this weekend, even though they played well. Bellingham's back this leg as well. And Leipzig are scoring goals. All of their big hitters are doing what needs to be done. So, yeah, I am very, very much looking forward to it. Yeah.
Fair enough. And in our final game in Germany, we obviously have to touch on the league leaders. Who won away from home 2-0 at Köln?
Mm-hmm.
They extended their lead to 10 points with that victory. And what was a very symmetrical victory that would have pleased Xabi Alonso, people who love wingbacks, and numerologists, because Jeremy Frimpong scored in the 37th. And Alex Grimaldo scored in the 73rd.
Yeah.
This one was made pretty easy. It was going to be a win anyway, I imagine, but it was made easy because Köln got a red card in the 14th minute to Jan Thielmann. They might do an Invincibles, bro.
It would really make me happy because of Granit Xhaka, but also, I think we have to have a special mention to their fullbacks and their numbers. Like, they're putting up numbers better than the likes of, I don't know, Ousmane Dembele, for example, or Jeremy Doku. Or, do you know what I mean? Like, they're putting up ridiculous numbers. Grimaldo's on, 9 goals? Frimpong's on, 10 goals? They both have, 7 or 8 assists each.
No, I think they both have double figures, goals and assists in all competitions this season already. Both of them. There like 11, go. 11 and 10, 10 or some shit like that. It's crazy.
There we go. Like, it's, I don't have the exact stats. I just know it's, put it like this. If Marseille had those stats this season, I'd be like, you know what? He's having a quietly good season, you know, believe it or not, kind of thing.
I'd be like, he's quietly world class.
do you know what I mean? So yeah, them boys are going nuts, man. And
well, let's tap in on this a little bit more. Surely it's more about the system that they're playing, right?
Oh, for sure. But also, Grimaldo genuinely doesn't score bad goals, so that helps as well. It's a system thing, but it's also a quality thing. It's not like he's scoring like tap-ins from like across from like the other. Like, no, Grimaldo is slamming them in, bro.
Because I'm trying to think back, like, you know, I've lived a fairly long amount of time, and I can't really think of a season where the wing backs for a team were this dominant.
If you want to come, if you want to compare, it was probably Liverpool a few years ago, but they weren't wing backs. We could actually call them wing backs because of how attacking Liverpool were. I mean, they scored a shitload of goals. But genuinely, this is a three at the back formation with your wing backs that are clearly, you know, if not for Julian Wirtz, you'd say their wing backs are arguably like their most threatening players. And this is no disrespect to Boniface, by the way, but boys are putting up stupendous numbers. Like,
he just injured. I'm sure he'd be right up there with them if he was actually playing. He played in a while.
Yeah, I mean, just go through their team, man. Like, there's so much quality in their team. It's yeah, man. I don't really see a real weakness in them, genuinely. Like, you know, from Tarr to Xhaka to their fullbacks to Wirtz to, you know, Schick coming in as well. Like, bro, like, there's a lot of quality in this team, man. Like, I'm happy that I'm witnessing this. Like this. Nathan Teller off the bench, Capso. But listen, they're stacked. They're actually stacked.
Enough. Let's do the standings. Leverkusen in first with 64 points. Bayern a further 10 back on 54 points. Yeah. Stuttgart 4 points behind Bayern on 50. Dortmund 6 points behind Stuttgart on 44. Leipzig in the Europa League spot on 43 points, and Eintracht Frankfurt right behind them in 37 points. Well, that's not right behind. That's 6 points. That's a hell of a gap. Yeah. But it looks like we're pretty close to locked in Germany. For coaches' edification, Mainz are currently 17th, only above Darmstadt. Yeah. We will be there. We will be there when you go. We will be there.
Enjoy. We will be there.
Second Bundesliga, nigga. All right. We're out. We move over to Ligue 1. And of course, we start in the only place we can. Monaco and PSG apparently played the most entertaining 0-0 match you can imagine. I did not have the luxury of watching this.
I don't believe it. The most insane 0-0 of all time is Arsenal versus Real Madrid in 2005-06 season. By far the best no ever. Go watch it back if you haven't.
And if you do, he will give you some socks.
No, I won't actually. Fuck you.
Luis Enrique, man. I get the logic behind essentially excising a player that has planned, you know, because teams generally don't win. Like, in the modern era, like, teams generally don't win if the team isn't together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you don't run into a whole lot of, you know, that whole old school shit, like, oh, Michael Jordan punched me in the face in the locker room and we still won the championship. Mm. Like, that's not really a modern thing anymore. The vibes got to be good for teams to win these days. So I can understand you saying, my club captain announcing that he's leaving halfway through the season. Like, bro, you got to hold some bench. Like, I don't rely on you anymore. But he's also still your best player by far. So, coach, where do you stand on this? Is this misguided?
It's definitely one of two things. I do think it's a fair assessment on Enrique's part, but I do also actually feel at the same time there's a little bit of ego there. Like, Enrique's ego is hurt, which is fair enough. It is, you know what I mean? You're only human, and he has every right to feel that way. But at the same time, you've got to put the team first. Anything PSG want to do this season, they're not going to do it without Mbappe.
Speaking about without Mbappe, he got subbed off at halftime.
Yeah,
did not join his teammates on the bench.
Yeah, got showered.
He got showered, got changed, then walked around the whole goddamn stadium to go sit with his mom in the stands. Yeah. And the cameras were on him as opposed to the actual game. Like, come on, man, really?
Yeah, it's not. Honestly speaking, it's not looking good. Put it this. I personally think I would not be surprised if he doesn't start their next league game. He's starting the Champions League because they need to go through. But in their next league game, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't start.
Like, that's fair. I can see them using him in the Champions League for the rest of the season.
I mean, depending on how far they get in the Champions League, he literally might not start another game for the rest of the season, depending, you know what I mean? So,
I mostly blame him because he could have preempted this by just asking the Emir of Qatar or whoever the fuck he met on Friday to kill Luis Enrique, because I'm sure that's an option. Don't kill nobody. The shirtless plantain show does not recommend murder. We move on. Brest, the surprise package of the season, who have not gotten nearly enough attention despite their titillating name. 1-1-0. at home to Le Havre. Yeah. It looks like they might make the Champions League, coach. They got to go from Pierre-Lise Malou. I remember him from Norwich. I remember him being shit there, like everyone on that team at the time, besides Todd Cantwell, who is shit now, but that's neither here nor there. But are they going to do it?
No, I don't think they will.
So who do you trust to overtake them? Because it's still close behind PSG, so it's we'll get to the table in a bit, but it's Brest on 46, then the present team behind them 42, then 41, then 40, then 39. So they're not all the way there yet, but they have the biggest gap between them and
it's 4 points. That it's 4 points. And while they're in good form right now, to be honest, they might pull a Lons like last season and have the staying power. But I'm looking at Lille, I'm looking at Nice, I'm looking at Monaco to really, I suppose, turn the screw. I just don't feel like they've got the full staying power there.
Yeah, they probably don't. But I think when I look at those teams you mentioned, the chasing pack,
yeah,
none of them have been consistent this season. There have been points, you know, we do this every week. There have been points where we thought Nice would be the team to give PSG issues this season. Then they fell off. Monaco have been inconsistent all season. Yeah. Lille, they were going well for a little bit. They started scoring all these goals. Then they had a bad patch. But now they're good again.
They're essentially the form team in France right now. Anyway, they've won literally their last three in a row. There's every reason right now to think they can do it. I just don't feel like I would love to. I would love to see Brest. Who doesn't want to see Brest in the Champions League?
I want to see Brest anywhere.
Yeah, well, there we go. So yeah, I would love to see it. I don't feel like they've got the staying power. But listen, I'm happy to be proven wrong for sure.
All right. Well, we'll keep watching them every week then. We're rooting for them. Reims and Will Still hosted Lille, coaches, boys, and Jonathan David. He is making Fabrizio Romano's job easier, finally, scoring all these goals this year. Like, what the hell's going on, coach? He's back.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to get the move. And it's going to be some... Boy, it's gonna be someone like Aston Villa that have to replace Ollie Watkins.
Where's Ollie Watkins going?
He's probably gonna go to flipping Tottenham. you can see it happening, isn't it? You can.
He's such a Tottenham looking ass nigga too. Like he's like a different Pokemon version of Brennan Johnson or some shit. Yeah,
he's gonna go to Tottenham, that kind of thing. But actually, no, he might not, because they're gonna get Champions League.
And only he's staying for sure. I mean, and it just makes sense for his career. Like, I think when you play, obviously he's been good before Unai showed up, but this is the best he's ever been.
Yeah.
When you run into a manager that's elevating your game like this, it would behoove you to stay put a little longer and see what might happen. Maybe he will get that move he actually wants down the line. How old is he? We don't care about that.
Yeah.
In any event, Jonathan David, you might be out of France soon. We wish you luck with that. 1-0 to Lille in that one. Clermont Foot hosted Marseille and was complete domination for Marseille with five goals from five different goal scorers, including Aubameyang, obviously.
A boomerang, I mean, good for him, man. Couldn't give a shit, bro. I saw some shit this weekend on the timeline that really annoyed me. I was like, people talking about him being upset during the Chelsea game when we smoked their shit last season, and hearing the North London Forever song and him looking upset. I was like, my nigga, you caused this by literally being stuck in traffic on a North London derby Sunday, bro. That's all you. That's all you. Like, you ruined this. You could have been, to this day, you could have been the backup reliable striker that we only call out when we're trying to give Jesus rest. That could have been your role. You know what I mean? You could
have been fucking 300k a week. Fuck that nigga. Yeah, I'm glad he gone. Bye. Enjoy Marseille, nigga. Shit.
That is true.
Backup striker at 300k a week?
Yeah.
Nah, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Fuck that. But, you know, I mean, we like what you did and we don't care anymore. Good luck. Enjoy Marseille. It's a lovely city, I hear. Good fishing. Lyon's run of good form is finally a wrap as they lost after, I believe, five straight wins. They lost at home to Lens. Goals from Sotoka, Eliawahi, and Kevin Danso before our boy Ainsley Maitland-Niles got himself red carded. And that is us done in France, coach. The standings, PSG first, obviously, on 55 points. Brest a further 9 points behind on 46. Monaco in third on 42. Lille in fourth on 41. And Nice in fifth with 40 points. Lens, are in sixth with 39 points. And Marseille, since they're right there, are in seventh with 36 points. And now, coach, the Super League. We're almost out of here. Are you ready?
I'm ready to go, man. Let's talk about the controversy in Liverpool's game straight away just to piss off some people. No, I'm joking.
Well, we'll get to that, but we start at St. James's Park, where Newcastle destroyed Wolves 3-0. I thought this was unexpected, given the respective form of both teams. You know, this was a good Gary O'Neill week, if you will, and a bad Eddie Howe week prior, so I didn't expect this at all.
Yeah, but, I mean, I had a feeling, I had a good feeling because I put Isak in my team. So I was like, I see it, actually, Dave. I can definitely see it happening. I put Isak in my team and I took Sarabia out. So, yeah.
Wow, that's prescient. That's prescient.
Yeah, I had a good feeling. But, yeah, look, Newcastle, after getting their shit pushed in by us, you know, the cheating fuckers, good for them, man. And you look at who they're bringing off the bench, like, compared to who's starting, they're actually getting back to, you know, full complement in terms of their injuries. You know, they were able to bring off the bench Barnes, Livramento, Almiron, and Miley.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all. I know, like, they should be hitting good form towards the end of the season now with everyone coming back, and, you know.
What do you expect them to finish?
Hopefully in hell, but if I had to say, looking at the table, I'd probably expect them to. Do you know what? They'll probably finish like seventh, I think.
Yeah, that feels about right. Seventh. Yeah. It would be a good season for them overall, I'd say. But
yeah, you know. Look, last season was an anomaly. Do you know what I mean? A seventh for Newcastle, they should be over the moon of it, genuinely. So
expectations. Tottenham hosted Crystal Palace in Oliver Glasner's second game with Palace. Mm-hmm. And it looked like they were going to win this thanks to a wonderful free kick from Ebere Chiesa. But poor defending from Joachim Andersen. He's been really bad this season overall. Yeah. I don't really know what the deal is, but I've seen him lose a lot of duels to players that were not getting past him 1-2 years ago at this point. But he couldn't get a hold of Brennan Johnson, and he allowed that guy to cross for Timo Werner to get the equalizer. Mm-hmm. The momentum from that goal led to a Christian Romero header 3 minutes later, and Son wrapped it up towards the end of the game. 3-1 to Spurs in that one. Any thoughts, coach?
Yeah. Palace going to pieces like that just really disappointed me, because while Tottenham are at home and whatnot, like, you take the lead in that manner, and because, like, they were winning what up until what, the 70 something minute, I believe.
Yeah. It was late in the game that all this started going off.
Yeah, like, they actually, 77th minute is when Werner equalized. Bro, you've literally just gone to pieces. Even if you don't get out of there to win, don't go and concede two more goals. Be professional, man. That's what really rubbed me the wrong way.
So, yeah, well, for the Yanks, I'm going to shout out Chris Richards. I thought he played really well. Even despite the result, he just looked like their best defender, which is crazy because that used to be Joachim Andersen, but
yeah,
it's not anymore.
You know what? Every time I've seen Richards play, like, live, he's always impressed me. And Roy Hodgson dropped him for a long time, and Glasner's come back in and just put him pretty much straight back into the team. And no, I'm happy for him, to be honest. Like, I genuinely am.
Well, Roy was, you know, his time was here, you know, and we hope he's doing well wherever he is. Well, probably home annoying his wife. In any event, we move on to Nottingham Forest 0, Liverpool 1. We already hinted at what happened in this game. I would say Nottingham Forest, in the last minutes of that game, mm-hmm. they didn't play the game they were in. They played the game they thought they were in because of the noise of the crowd. Yeah. That was an easy 0-0 draw if they just boot the ball away. They did what Arsenal did away to Porto, essentially. Yeah. Like, bro, just get rid. Just get rid. But in that moment, though, Alexis McAllister, coach, he told you to go fuck yourself. How do you respond?
So everyone's hyping him up, yeah? And don't get me wrong, McAllister is a good player. Do not get me wrong. People are talking about, oh, there's only three midfielders in the league that are better than him. And I just think, that pump your fucking brakes, man. Seriously. Like,
it's more than three midfielders better than him at Liverpool, man.
Yeah, like seriously, like, he's a good player, like, really good standard, and, you know, perfect for what Liverpool are doing and whatnot. But let's be fucking guided here. If Klopp had his way, he would have had Enzo and Caicedo over him. You know, so let's not you know, kid ourselves here. He's a good player, but yeah, off the ball, yeah, is any good team with a decent midfield are going to have fun when they have the ball against Alexis McAllister because he's a training code. These types of games where Liverpool have all of the ball, it's fine.
Right.
But he's not a good two-way midfielder at all. And all the top teams all have excellent two-way midfielders. Klopp's best teams were all good two-way midfielders. This guy is only really useful with the ball. So yeah, I don't care what you're telling me about the tackle success on that shit. Watch the game, you will see. Like Klopp said it to the Lions then, aka Arsene's house, and Rice literally chewed his bones, bro. Like it wasn't even funny at one point. Like let's be guided here, man. Like things are great, but yeah.
I don't have a dog in this fight, but I'm gonna point out that you're talking about a World Cup winning midfielder there. So you know, I'm just saying, yeah, you know, 1966 was a long time ago. So watch your tone, niggas.
I'll tell you this now: Cleverson also won a World Cup, bro. So yeah.
what'd you make of Paul Tierney essentially doing Liverpool a solid there? Because the controversial moment in this game was essentially Konate. I'm not gonna say he faked the injury because he did get hit.
Of course, yeah.
But the ball was in Nottingham first possession. Callum Hudson-Odoi was about to cross it into the box again.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Tierney stops the game and does a drop ball and gives possession to Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Now I've heard, I did not confirm this because I'm not going to go rewatch a Liverpool game, but I heard that he did the same thing towards the end of the first half mm-hmm. where he stopped the Liverpool attack and gave the drop ball to Nottingham Forest. But two wrongs don't make a right because Forest went from being on the attack and maybe having the last chance of the game mm-hmm. to having to defend the last attack of the game, and they did not do it successfully. And now all of a sudden they had, I forget who the assistant that accosted the referee after the game was, he got red carded, and they have no points from this game. And their owner tried to almost, you know, went after the ref.
No, I heard he had a cattle prod trying to shock him, apparently. I don't know. How true it is, but yeah.
but what did you make? What I mean, is that, I mean, I'm not going to seek out some large conspiracy, but it just feels like an awfully lucky thing to happen to a team that just won the Carling Cup and their coach is leaving and the vibes are right. And I'm just like, really? We just going to give them this shit? Like, nobody going to try to beat my team?
Well, the thing is, no, genuinely, I can't begrudge them of their luck that they got in that game, because if it happened to my team, I'd be over the moon as well. But it just sets, let me just say, it just sets a bad precedent from the first half, that the fact that the ref can do that, I think, in my head. Now, it's almost like the red card thing. When a team gets a red card, the referee automatically is trying to, I wouldn't say all refs try to do this, but they're more obliged to give a red card to the other team just to even the game up. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that's what, gives me a little bit of that kind of vibe. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, okay, I already did it to them, this thing, so let me do it back to them. It's like, that's not really in the spirit of the game. Ref the game that's in front of you, not the game that you want to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's just...
That advice was the same thing I offered to Nottingham Forest, because if they just boot the ball away, we're not really talking about this. Yeah. They didn't. And they let McAllister look like the best midfielder in the league, and now coach has to answer to these fucking accusations and shit. Anyway, we move on to the GTEC, where Brentford and Chelsea drew 2-2. The highlights from this one were obviously Yohan Wiso's goal. But before we get to that,
in my front line as well.
I'm tired of your shit, nigga. Fuck you. but this seems to be the day that I think between the Carabao stuff, the aftermath of the Carabao stuff, and getting labeled billion dollar jobs or whatever the fuck that nigga said, the away fans were not really having punch. In this game, they were chanting for Abramovich, chanting for Mourinho, and he definitely heard that shit. He couldn't front like he didn't hear it, and they asked him about it, and it was really awkward. You think he makes it to the end of the season? They can't afford to fire him anyways.
I hope so, because I cannot deal with any fucking new manager bounce, bro.
Well, if they get rid of him, it better not be before they come to the Emirates. Yeah. I mean, that Yohan Wiso goal, though, fucking hell.
Yeah, I'm actually just going back to have a look at it again now, because I would like to basically just say he's staying in my team for the rest of the season.
Inshallah, because I had him for a little bit, but he picked up a brief injury and I dropped him at that
point. And then he went AFCON as well. But I tell you what, I'm taking him out. I'm taking him out after the Sheffield United game because we got them got them over the weekend. Right. But
can you plan your fantasy team on your own fucking time, nigga? What the fuck? let's move on to Goodison Park, where Everton hosted West Ham. Took the lead thanks to Beto, who honestly, every time he puts a ball in the net, it feels like a miracle because that nigga is not a real striker. He just looks like a striker. He's not a real striker. And this was a very deflating loss for Everton at home because, one, they got done by their old coach, David Moyes. And two, it just, like, I remember when Everton scored in this game, it was still bright out. Then by the time West Ham won the game 3-1, it was dark and the stadium was emptying out. And it was just so sad. It's the kind of...
Listen, man.
Yeah, it's the kind of result that I feel like a team struggles to recover from and they go on like another... They lose like two more games on the bounce, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, but when Sucek is scoring goals like that against you, on top of that, it's...
Bro, man took his shirt off and I was like, you know what? You deserve that.
Yeah.
You deserve that. That was a hell of a goal. I don't think he scored a goal that good in his life.
Never. Never. It was... Yeah, it's just sad.
The Edson Álvarez goal too. Like I thought, well, for a defensive midfielder, that was very classy.
So that technique there, is all Hernan Crespo. All Hernan Crespo. If you know, you know.
And you don't get clashed with Hernan Crespo.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, for the rest of the pod, I'm gonna put my headband on. Fuck it. Oh man, but yeah. 3-1 West Ham. Good result for Moyes, bad result for Dyche. excuse me, people. Fulham hosted Brighton, and this one ended 3-0, which, given Brighton's results in the last couple months, this is not that much a surprise. Like, last season, this would have been a surprise. Now, it's no longer a surprise to me. With all the injuries, they don't have Matoma, they don't have March, Ferguson doesn't really play. Their midfield is light. They're playing guys like Charlie Gilmore, like little motherfuckers. Like the Zerbi's magic has worn off a bit. I feel like
I feel like him being linked to certain jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that they're now going to be reeling them back in. Like, you know, everybody put it like this: there's basic things in the Premier League, right? And I know obviously it came from like a bunch of deflection and shit, but there's basic things in the Premier League that every team knows. And one of the things that's pinned up on every single coach's wall is never let Harry Wilson come in onto his left foot. Just that he's one of the few players in the league that you just don't let him come, whether he's shooting or crossing, just don't let him do it because he was devastating. The goal, and then the like, there's a reason why my man was at Liverpool, innit? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's having that quality of the final pass or the final action, is so underrated. And De Zerbi is not, is he stocks are not looking good right now, and the basic things like that, you know, is the reason why, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so he's not going to spend forever at Brighton.
No.
Let me not say if he's choosing. If Liverpool can't get their first choice, who's obviously Xabi Alonso,
mm-hmm.
do you think he's a valid candidate for them? I think despite the results at Brighton, he's still one of the coaches you want to be looking at if you're a big team.
Yeah, yeah.
He's part of banger. He's in that Arteta class for me as far as, like, new managers coming up, him, Alonso, Arteta, De Zerbi. I think they're all in the same sort of bracket, I feel. Do you not rate him as much as you rate those guys?
I think I rate him a little bit lower only because he gets beaten badly quite often. Like, he didn't, like, and that's a worry for me. You know, despite obviously we talk about player quality and all those kind of things, he gets beaten badly, you know. In a season, he might have 7 or 8 of these results. That's way too much. So,
well, I mean, I guess that's fair because player quality doesn't mean you can't coach a team to sit in a block and not embarrass themselves.
Yeah.
Like, and that does happen to him quite a bit, you know. So that's why, you know, them losing to Fulham 3-0 is not a shock anymore because it's just like we've seen this a bunch of times this season.
Yeah.
In any event, he also got introduced to Adama Traore. We can't leave without saying that. And now he knows what it feels like to have a big, meaty man slap Premier League meat on him. So enjoy that, Roberto, and enjoy your next job. Luton Town 2, Aston Villa 3. Early Ollie Watkins double canceled out by 6 minutes of madness in the second half with goals from Tati Chung and Carlton Morris. Only for Luca Dean to steal it at the end for them, Coach. What did you see in this one?
It was a great header as well. From Dean, and I actually, I know I get to Emery a lot, but I do enjoy celebrations. That nigga cares. He really fucking cares.
He's a fucking nerd.
Yeah, he really cares. And I love that.
If you're out there looking like the butler from Mr. D, just happy as you're like, good for him, man. Burnley hosted Bournemouth, and that one ended 2-0 to their away team, Bournemouth. Vincent Kompany got some booze at Turf Moor, finally.
Yeah. But
they still played well. They did play well, though.
They did, and they had some really good chances. They absolutely dominated the game, to be honest. But I think Iriola showed just like he's a better coach than Kompany. He was able to essentially ride the wave and just make sure that his team wasn't really in any real danger. Honestly speaking, look, Kompany's got to go, man. Like, unless you're going to play in a way that complements the players that you have, you've got to go. You just got to go at this point.
And to get us out of here, because Arsenal do not play this weekend, they play away at Sheffield United on Monday. There will be a pod afterwards. We'll sort that out for you guys. But the Manchester Derby, coach, you already recorded a pod for this, did you?
Yeah, man. And do you know the thing that I most disappoints me is, and I said it earlier in the season, probably you said it last season as well, Manchester Derbies are such a academic thing.
Foregone conclusion.
It's that these are the fixtures that Pep never overthinks. You could have looked at the team sheet from today and said, oh, Pep's playing a 4-3-3. Even though it wasn't, obviously, it was that 3-4, 3-2-4-1, sorry.
Right.
Like, all the components were there for him to play the regular trademark 4-3-3 with two attacking midfielders in front of Rodri, cool. And they would have been fine. They still probably would have won the game kind of thing. But the point I'm making is that there was no room for real, even though United scored first, there was no real room for, could City lose this? Despite United looking very dangerous when they did break, City were always in control. And that's just so, it must be so harrowing for United fans to think every time we play City, we essentially just almost have no chance to beat them.
Why would you use a word like harrowing when talking about United fans? They're not that smart. They don't know what you meant by that. those fucking idiots. Sorry if you're listening to this, but you know what it is. You know, we love you guys. For me, weirdly enough, I thought this was, for the first time in many months, I actually understood what United were trying to achieve in a game.
Yeah.
They actually looked compact because they accepted that we're way worse than these guys and they'll fucking kill us if we leave our yansh open like we did against Fulham and Wolves and every other fucking team in the Prem this season. Mm-hmm. There was a structure about them, and when they broke, they looked dangerous, but I think they were also doing that thing that they've done a lot in big games where they basically go, hey, Andre Onana, you're our best passer of the ball. So when we need to calm the game down, we're going to give it to you. Even if we had already made, 30 yards into the other team's half and we don't know what to do with it, we're going to get it back to our goalkeeper to control the game and calm things down, which meant that the moments where they could have made an actual difference to win this game, they weren't brave enough. I think mentally, there was just too much conservatism going on. Like, guys weren't really fully aggressive. It's why, Marcus Rashford had a moment to break in the first half there, and he got shook because Kyle Walker was behind him. Bro, you're Marcus Rashford. He's not going to catch you. You're that good. Then in the second half with that one play right before the City goal, was that, was that a foul or a charge?
So I had to look at the replay, like, significantly afterwards, and my initial reaction was that Rashford shit himself, but he actually got tripped.
He got tripped. And people, I think that's the thing, like, it's such results-based analysis for me. Like, if United go on to win that game, people will say, they could have scored one more and Kyle Walker would have gotten sent off because he tripped Marcus Rashford there. Yeah. And because they lost and they were never really in the game like that, all of a sudden, all these commentators that get paid money to do this shit are talking about Rashford like he's some sort of bum. And truly, I think Kyle Walker tripped him. That's what my eyes told me there, man. Yeah. Like, it seemed very obvious to me. Then they go and score from that on the other side of the game, So I'd be frustrated if I was a United fan. United fans, I imagine that you understand what the word frustrated means. You've been frustrated since 2013, so surely by now you know what that means. but it's a shame. I think your original point is the main takeaway from this, coach. The fact that the Manchester Derby is a game that is without jeopardy. Like, as an Arsenal fan that's, I suppose, in the title race, if we want to call it that. I never once thought that they would. Like, I thought it was more likely that Nottingham Forest would give us something against Liverpool than United would give us something against City, which is a shame. That's a shame. Coach, we're at the finish line. Anything else for these people?
Yeah, man. Arsenal play tomorrow.
I told him that shit, nigga, but you don't listen to the podcast. Yeah. I already said that shit. Fuck
no, no. I'm just reiterating, but yeah, I won't be on it. Got some shit to do, unfortunately.
Fair enough. I'm sending Monday.
But yeah, like, you know, we're gonna have obviously a great pod regardless of the result, hoping for an Arsenal win. And look, I just want to reiterate that, look, I called Timber being back around this time on this pod, and I would love to be able to find the pod I said it on, but yeah, I was right, man. I might be
I don't think this is a thing to brag about, honestly. Like, I don't understand why you're proud of this, because if he's back, right, he's not gonna play.
Okay,
he's not gonna fucking play.
Okay,
he's back at a minimum 6 to 8 weeks before he's supposed to be back.
Yeah,
in a season where we've been going just fine without him. This is not I'm happy for him, I'm happy for us, but this is not even important news, bro. It don't matter. He not playing. They're not risking him. That's a $40 million player. We're not fucking risking that nigga. But it's nice to have him back. And it's nice to see him in training. Pick him Bukayo and all that. That's a strong person to be kicking, you know. So that's
true.
That's good. In any event, tell these people peace, coach.
Peace.
We out.
I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go, got to catch my sugar. My plantain sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar. Plantain, plantain, plantain.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.